Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas. What a great guest we have today. Very successful woman business person and cyclist. Anna Rice is joining us. Anna, you're leaving the friendly skies for a little bit to stay home and do some bike riding over the weekend?
Yes. I ended up having a little bit of time off this month, more time than usual. I had vacation time, so I have the weekend off with my family, and as long as the weather holds up, I'll probably head outside for a little bit.
Now, Anna is a pilot for United Airlines. Anna, you're in a very male-dominated profession, it seems like. Is that true?
It is true. I think at United, about 7% of our pilot group is women, which is about the highest in the industry. But even so, I end up working with mostly men. Honestly, it doesn't bother me. It's as long as I'm working with good people, I don't, you know, have any gender preference of who I fly with or who I work with. So,
and I just started off with that question because what was it about flying that really interested you? And how early in your life did you start having thoughts that, you know, I would really like to fly?
So my mom was a flight attendant when I was growing up for another major airline, and I used to go on trips with her. She used to fly to Europe a lot, and she would take my sister and I to, you know, London or Frankfurt, and we'd go on trips with her growing up. So I always loved flying, and I loved the travel aspect of it. And even back in elementary school, I think I talked about wanting to be a pilot. When I was in middle school was when I really remember having the ambition and kind of the vision to become a pilot. My sister and I were we were flying to Germany to go stay with my dad for about 3 weeks that summer. And we worked in the back of the airplane with her serving passengers with my mom. And my sister and I had so much fun doing it. I think I was 12 or 13. And when we get to Germany, we see my dad and we're like, Dad, we both want to be flight attendants when we grow up. And he kind of was the first person who said, well, why don't you be a pilot? And I thought about it and it was like, okay, well, that's kind of a neat job. And of course, I was always that person who I looked up to pilots. I'd always go in the cockpit growing up when we would travel. And it was always, I think throughout the rest of middle school and high school, that was always my vision is, wow, I think I could be a pilot. And as the math, I was very math oriented, mission oriented. So it ended up being a good fit. And I think I never lost the vision of becoming a pilot.
And then how did you get into that career path after school?
So I pursued a little bit of interest in military, like the Naval Academy or the Air Force Academy. That ended up not being a good fit, I think, for me. So I ended up doing the civilian route. So I went to I ended up going to Metro State here in Denver and doing. They have a 4-year aviation program. So I got my 4-year degree in aviation technology. And then while I was doing that, I was concurrently flying and getting my flight rating. So my private pilot's license, my instrument rating, commercial rating. And then once you get your commercial rating, which is about 250 hours of flight time, you can get paid to fly. So I became a flight instructor when I was in college still. And my last basically year of college, I was teaching other students to fly. So building my flight time, doing that. And then when I graduated, I was actually in my senior semester of college during September 11th. And about half the people I was going to school with ended up quitting aviation because they thought we'd never get the jobs that we desired because the industry, you know, changed literally in a day. But I stuck with it. And about 6 months after I graduated, I got my first job flying for Great Lakes Airlines, flying Beech 1900s here out of Denver to, you know, Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, to all the small towns. And then after that, you kind of build your, you know, I worked my way through other regional carriers before getting on at United in 2008.
Now, I don't want to get too far off track here, but I've got to go back to 9/11. I mean, that's something that never even crossed my mind as we were sitting down for this interview, but I can't imagine what that would have been like to have been a student when that happened. You really lost about half the class.
I would say, so when I was at Metro, I had my kind of group of friends and some people who maybe weren't as far along with their experience because of the degree was, the degree work was basically, was somewhat separate from the flight experience. So if people didn't have their flight time up to that point, some of my friends, I won't say about half the class because I didn't know everybody, but my group of people who I was in classes with and kind of progressed through college with, about half of them quit. And even now I'm still in touch with them or I hear where they are, but they've left aviation. And I know for all of us, when we started, the goal was to fly for a major airline for a lot of us. And I would say that when I say a lot of us, there was about 10. So there were probably about 10 gentlemen that I progressed through college with and I would go flying with. And like I said, about half of them ended up quitting aviation altogether. And probably two or three of us ended up being at major airlines as of today. So the percentage of people who quit back after September 11th was pretty high.
Okay, now you just said people that you went flying with. Is that how you enjoy your time off from flight schools to go flying?
So to build flight time to get your specific ratings, you had to have certain amounts of, say, night flying time or certain amounts of cross-country flight time. So to build that experience, you would go... like I would take a couple friends that I would fly with regularly. We'd go rent an airplane together and then one of us would fly what you call on the instruments under the hood. You'd put basically foggles, which are glasses where you can't see outside. And one of you would fly on the instruments and then the other one was considered a safety pilot. So to build flight time, you can both log that time and one of you's operating the airplane, flying instruments, but then you're required to have a safety pilot. So when I say we would split time, it was to build the experience to get our next rating.
Wow, so you're really helping each other out that way, and you're both getting credit for it.
Yes, and that's, as far as I know, I don't instruct anymore, but that I think is still kind of the norm is to go share time with one other pilot and then build your time that way and the experience.
Now, this sounds like your schedule is extremely packed. How did you get out and get any type of exercise during this time?
I will say that during my kind of career building years, when I was in college, that was probably the time where I didn't do a lot. I would go to classes, say I'd book all my classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays all day. And then if I had a gap or something, there was a pool down on the campus. And back then I would mostly swim laps because I grew up as a competitive swimmer. So I would go down and swim laps just because it was convenient to be there. And I did an internship one summer and I would run a few mornings a week before then. It was squeeze it in where you could, I guess, is what I tried to do. Because it was still important for me to exercise and for mental health reasons even.
Now, how about now as your career has really taken off, no pun intended, flying, you've got a family, you've really got a full schedule, but you spend a lot of time out on your bike.
I do. So I stayed home. I was furloughed from United in 2008 after being in there for about 6 months. And so I stayed home for about 8 years. And I think some of the community that I built was actually with a lot of other friends who cycled or ran. And maybe did triathlon. So I think I tried to give as much as I could to my kids, who were all very young at the time, And then my outlet away from them was usually going out and riding my bike or going for a run or doing a race. And not only did I have community with friends by doing that, I also got the exercise in, which was important. It was a huge outlet for me while I stayed home, a breath of fresh air outside. My kids couldn't chase me. They couldn't keep up with me. So it was a necessity back then, I guess, or kind of, like I said, my outlet. I think now I've been back flying for about 2 years, and I thought something would fall out of the balance, I guess. I thought I was going back to work, so I'd have to give up some of my endurance training. But I quickly realized it has become a part of my life full time. And it's if I'm on a trip, I can run. If I'm home and my kids are in school, I can go for a long bike ride. So it's, again, fitting it in where I can. But I just know now that I'm balancing the work and the family and the training. It's always going to be something that I need and that I want to do.
And I want to get into that a little bit more. I just have a question, though. When you were furloughed, do you still have to keep up on your flight education and hours?
No. So once, that's kind of the neat thing about when you get a pilot certificate, is what they're called. They don't ever expire. What you do have to do is get currency before you're allowed to fly an airplane. So when I was furloughed, I had all my qualifications, obviously. But I knew that when I returned from furlough at United, they would have to train me up to currency, as far as you need, say, 3 takeoffs and landings every 90 days. You need, you do what you call a check ride. So I knew I'd have to go through all of that and they'd have to requalify me. I did have the opportunity to fly the simulators to make sure I could still fly while I was furloughed. So I did that maybe 3 times over the course of 8 years. And once I realized I could still fly, and that the flying, it was kind of like riding a bike truly, I relaxed a lot more, because I think I was nervous about getting back into the cockpit after being out for 8 years, and I was worried I would have lost some of my skills. But like I said, knowing I flew the simulators while I was on furlough and that I could still fly gave me confidence and helped me to just focus on staying at home and giving everything I could to my family and enjoying training instead of feeling like I needed to return to United sooner.
Now, how are you able to work out a training schedule with your profession?
I will say that's probably where I have to bring a lot of flexibility in. If I'm on the road on trips, and I probably on average fly about 15 days a month, I usually try and do runs when I'm on the road, because obviously cycling or doing a stationary bike in a workout room is not the same as road riding. So I try and get a lot of running in when I'm on the road. And then when I'm home, I do, let's say lap swimming, or that's when I do a lot of my road rides. So I stay flexible. I think I usually plan out about 5 to 7 days and I say, okay, I've got to go to work on Thursday. Today's Tuesday. I'm going to run today and then I'll do a long ride tomorrow before I have to fly on Thursday. So I kind of just, you have to stay dynamic and flexible. That's kind of, so I try not to get too hard on myself for not having a super disciplined training schedule as far as writing everything down on a calendar. Like I said, I stay dynamic and flexible, and that's been the key to keeping it as such a big part of my life.
And are you able to still get in any races or events of any type?
I'm actually a very mission-oriented person, so I feel like I always have something on the calendar coming up, whether it's a triathlon or a road ride or a running race. I try and always keep something on there to keep me focused towards a goal. So, like right now, I have 3 things planned out over the course of the next year, basically. And I think that keeps me focused on what I need to do between now and then. So I definitely, the events keep me going as far as having a goal in mind.
And does your planning that you have to have as a pilot and the checklist and going through everything, you've got to bring some of that to yourself as a competitor?
Absolutely. I think when I think about flying, it's a very mission oriented. We're going from A to B. It's very structured. We start with a flight plan. These are all of our things that we're, you know, predicting. And if things go amiss here or there, it's like you adjust, you adapt. And I feel like I definitely, all of those, having to stay flexible, all of those things definitely translate to endurance training. Say I plan to ride today and it's snowing. Right. Well, let's move the ride to tomorrow and today I'll go for a run. So, staying flexible with all of those things definitely are the almost identical mindset with work and training.
Well, Anna, it has been a real pleasure visiting with you. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. It was also a real pleasure flying on your plane. I've never felt so safe or had such a good landing.
Thanks.
Any thought you could leave us with today that you might make us a little better athletes and with our planning?
I think staying flexible and like I said, always having a goal in mind of what you're training for and knowing what to plan for. To me, that's helped me continue to keep this as part of my life, is having that goal and that the end in mind, right? Begin with the end in mind. So, and then staying flexible about it and being able to adapt and adjust to challenges that arise. I think as athletes, we're all very type A people. We have a tendency as endurance athletes to be that way. So I think taking some of the pressure off yourself to have a, you know, set everything up perfectly and then execute it perfectly, taking some of the pressure off of myself to do that perfectly as a type A person has allowed me to continue to enjoy training so much.
Anna Rice, United Airlines pilot, thanks so much for taking the time to chat today.
Thank you.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.